Good morning, everybody. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio on the 2nd of November, 2021. It's a pleasure to have you here with us today. As you know, we are the voice of the American Consortium for Equity in Education over at ACE, ACE-ED.org. Go over there, look at our magazine, Equity in Access. All our podcasts are over there. And there's a link to our new website all about social-emotional learning. Called SEL Today. That's at seltoday.org if you want to go straight over there. Okay, we're just building up that one. It's really good so far. It's going to keep getting better and better. So seltoday.org, ace-ed.org, and they're both linked. Today we got a nice show with the folks from ACT. We've got Dr. Krista Mattern here. Krista's a principal solutions designer in their applied research department. And we've got Rose Babington here. Rose is director of state partnerships over at ACT. And we're going to be talking about the achievement data that they've gathered on the graduating class of 2021, which I have a feeling is not that good. Okay, but we're going to see what it is, know where we are, how we can improve it, what's going on. ACT does this every year so that we know what's happening these days. So, Dr. Mattern, Krista, welcome aboard. It's Larry here.
Thank you. Hi, Larry. Thanks for having us.
It's my pleasure indeed. Where are you today? Where are you?
I am in Iowa City at the ACT campus.
Is that like where the Music Man comes? That's cool. Right? That's cool. Okay, just kidding. I know that's not. Rose, how are you?
I'm doing well, Larry, and I can talk about the Music Man all day. I didn't know that was going to be our big topic. Absolutely.
Go ahead,
let's go.
Go ahead. What can I do, my dear, to make it clear? Marrying the librarian, right? The Music Man.
I like it. I thought we were going to start with some Shapoopy, but maybe it's too early for Shapoopy.
You know, kids don't even know what we're talking about here. This is ridiculous. Let me just explain this, okay? There's a show called The Music Man. It also was a big movie, but that was way back in the 1950s. And now it's back on Broadway with Hugh Jackman. Okay, and it takes place in Iowa.
And Sutton Foster, can you believe it?
Yeah, there you go. Thank you for mentioning Sutton Foster's name. So thank you for bringing all that up. And it's got some great music, and it's 76 trombones. Okay, even Beatles music, Till There Was You. There were bells on the hill, but I never heard them ringing. That's from Music Man.
That's right.
Rose?
There's something for everybody. Larry,
there is.
I don't know if we can extend this podcast, but
there is. I will
sing
the entire soundtrack for you. You can do Mary in the Library, and I'll do Professor Harold Hill. We're in business. Krista, what would you like to perform?
I'll leave you guys. I'll watch.
Get down to that one. Okay. Hey, Krista, principal solutions designer, Dr. Mattern, what do you actually do? And I mean that sincerely. That is a funny question. What does that mean? Principal solutions
design. No, that's
design.
A great question. That's a great question. So I work within the research department and in this new role as principal solutions designer. We're responsible for designing our next products and our next features, and so thinking through that.
Cool.
But my perspective really looks at validity and efficacy issues, so how our products will support the claims we make, how do you interpret scores, how do you use our products to support students and individuals.
Yeah. You know, and that brings up an interesting point. You take the data about the graduating class of 2021, and it's at ACT, at both of you and everybody there, is the responsibility to create the next group of testing. But actually, this is a good question. I never thought, how does the testing, whoever, is it Rose? I think it's going to be Krista. Krista, how does the data reflect itself back into the as you create the questions and all that sort of stuff? There must be a correlation between the two. I never thought of that before. Aren't I smart? I'm
right.
Thinking of it now. Go for it. Tell me.
You're great.
Yeah.
How we determine what we measure and assess on our assessments, we have a national curriculum survey that we administer every 3 to 5 years. So we survey educators. We survey teachers in the K-12 space. We survey instructors in higher ed to understand what students need to know and be able to do to be successful, and that really drives our blueprint.
Yeah. Yeah, you guys are so good at the equity side and all that sort of thing, but what you do is so important. okay, because, and we'll talk about the achievement data for this year, okay, if there in fact was learning loss, curriculum loss, however you want to put that, I like the word curriculum loss better, okay, therefore you can't test kids assuming they understand that curriculum when the pandemic caused them to miss it all. All right, it's a really interesting conundrum you guys have, and I know you guys are expert at doing it. And Rose, you must work with the states, lining up what works for their curriculum. Am I correct, Rose?
That's absolutely right, Larry. Yes, going out and talking to states and working with our colleagues who talk really closely to schools and districts to make sure that the data gets in the hands of the right folks and has the ability to really, you know, create action, create the ability for everybody to evaluate what they're doing and to measure how students are performing relative to what we expect.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I never asked this before, Rose. Is there a difference between the ACT test, I'm just going to make up two states, Georgia versus Wyoming? Okay, considering the curriculums might be different in each state in high school, is there a difference if a kid takes an ACT, one in Wyoming, one in Georgia, is it the same test or a different test?
It's the same test, Larry. And I think
that's one
of the really special things about the ACT, that we're talking about, you know, an apples-to-apples comparison of students who are testing in different states or on different days. They're all having the ability to have that same style of assessment.
Well, it's really to me, not knowing a lot about it, it's really fascinating how it all comes together and that it works and how hard you guys work to make it work, I might add. I know you will. All right? It just really strikes me as interesting. So let's talk about the data. Who wants to do this? Okay, you release data each year in the graduating class of seniors, how they performed. Well, we can talk about the importance and all that, but first I want to know, how do we do this year? I think I'll ask Krista this one. Dr. Mattern, how do we do this year, the graduating class of 2021?
So we were down. We were down 0.3 points on the ACT average composite. So this year it was 20.3 as compared to 20.6. And we've seen this steady decline over the last 10 years.
Why the last 10 years as opposed to the last 2 years? That's an interesting question.
Well, the reason we mentioned that is we provide our data publicly. So anyone who's interested in understanding ACT data trends, we have a Tableau dashboard that anyone can access. It's publicly available. And we provide the last 10 years of data so that they can look at trends. But to your point, yes, we saw a bigger dip this year with the pandemic.
Yeah. Was it?
Yes.
I have to ask this way. Although there was a bigger dip, was it big enough to say that the pandemic really had a major effect, or was it just a slightly larger dip than in the past 10 years? I'm just curious. This is cool.
No, I think we can definitely say the pandemic had an effect. The grad class isn't the best data to use to analyze that question, Larry. So we've actually been doing additional analyses using our state and district testing records, because all students test when they're juniors, they're testing at the same time. So we can have that apples-to-apples comparison in terms of when they're testing in the same grade level. And we have a whole website that links to all our COVID-related research. But we did show when you look at the 2021 spring 2021 ACT test scores, their scores are down, and it's comparable to 3 months of instruction loss, if you want to talk about it in terms of, yep.
Well, and I want to ask, because you just used a great term, instruction loss, and this has been something that has been bugging me. I've said it before. People call this learning loss. My contention, and I like the way you said instruction loss, my contention is that the kids were learning, okay? And people are mixing up learning loss with curriculum loss, or what you just said, I'd like you to define the term instruction loss, okay? What did they really miss?
Right, no, I think that's a great point, because students still learned over that time period. They just didn't learn as much as we expected. So we do a lot of research looking at growth and how much
students are expected to grow over an academic year. And so I completely agree. It's that disruptive learning is having an impact on how they grew. Yep.
Well, thank you. And Chris, so Rose, you do state-by-state work. What's the word on that? Did any state do worse? Was there a big change, like the way the states line up or anything like that? Rose.
Not a big change in how the states have lined up. I think kind of to Krista's point, you know, this is the first year, if we're talking about the grad class, the 2021 grad class, the seniors who just graduated in the spring, they're the first class that was impacted by COVID and by the pandemic. But what we know and what our states are all talking about, and what a big part of the conversations this fall is centered around, was the fact that it's going to get worse. You know, as we look at students going to be graduating in 2022, they're students who have had more time in school during this pandemic and so on and so forth in future years. So I think a big part of the conversation with our states this year is, you know, this is really the tip of the iceberg when it comes to the data. Now is the time to start talking about how to best support these students because we know that many classes going forward are going to see this significant impact.
Yeah, this is really fascinating to me. So then I have to ask this, how does that, all of that, which is really cool, affect the ACT test? And also, if I may add, higher ed admissions, because obviously we can't penalize kids because of a pandemic. We have to measure them for what we were able to give them, all right, and teach them. And so how does it matter? As you sit in your huge chamber at ACT, all of you sitting there like the faculty at Hogwarts, okay, what exactly – that was a joke, by the way. You're allowed to laugh, okay, because you're not like hard at Hogwarts, okay? But seriously, how do you make the magic, all right, happen? How do you make sure that it's fair and equitable to everybody, all things considered? It's an interesting question because you have to balance that with what the colleges are expecting. It's really, or higher ed is expecting, I should say it that way. Rose, talk to me. This is really fascinating.
Yeah, I agree. It is always, I'll say, Larry, this part of the year and getting to go out into states and talking about the data has always been one of my favorite parts of this role because it's been this kind of big picture, exciting conversation of, you know, the impact that data has in how states make decisions and support students and support educators. And a few things. I think one of the big pieces in terms of equity, we work with 22 states who provide the ACT for either all of their students or fund it for a choice select group of students who opt to take the ACT. And throughout the pandemic, we worked really closely with these 22 states to make sure that there was the opportunity for students to test. And I think that has been a really huge, huge differentiator for those states to be able to say, even amidst these challenging times, amidst, you know, test centers being closed on Saturdays, amidst policies changing, our students had the ability, because the state paid for it and organized it, our students had the ability to take the test and have a college reportable score and get all of the information that comes along with taking the ACT that's so important for, you know, for planning their future.
It really is. And were all the kids able, Rose asked me, able to take the ACTs that should have taken it? Because quite obviously schools weren't in session everywhere, okay? You're dealing with 22 different states, okay? And, how did you, you know, you can't mail an ACT test to a kid's house and say, take this and mail it back to me, okay? And I remember how did you manage to do all this? This is great stuff.
It was very varied, and I have to give full kudos to our states and the departments of ed. I think early on in the pandemic, we were all on the phone together maybe twice a week saying, what does this look like? You know, we all have no idea what the future holds. What is this plan? And there was just a lot of flexibility, a lot of our states giving us feedback and saying, hey, this is how we're going to do things. So to answer your question, no, not every student was able to take the test, you know, come into the building, sit down at a desk or sit down at the computer and take the test like they would have normally. But for those states that, you know, for the 22 states, so many more students were able to test because states made contingency plans and arrangements to say, we can keep some of our students in the building this day and have other students learn from home on a given day so we can still have our students take the ACT but really prioritize everybody's health and safety.
Well, it's so good to hear this, and it's so interesting to hear the detail down the line, the true impact all the way down the line. Okay. It's amazing. You know, it's just amazing.
Yeah.
It's just like a rolling thunder there. It's incredible. All right. So all that said, Krista, looking at everything, and again, you're the solutions designer here. So solve me something, almighty designer. Okay. What does this all mean?
What this all means is, I think. Hear me? Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Okay. I can. Yes. Yes. Good.
I think what this really highlights is that measurement matters. We've always believed that.
We've
always said that before, now than ever. And back to your point before about penalizing children, exactly true. That is not the point. The point is to understand what students know and are able to do.
Exactly.
And our assessment does that. And we've linked it to college outcomes. We know if a student scores in this score range, they're likely to be successful. And so, again, given where we are as a country, we're still in this pandemic. Again, mm-hmm. It's not to penalize, to help support them. So higher ed institutions use the ACT not just for admissions, but for placements to provide interventions, so K-12. And so this information is really helpful to understand, okay, you're not where we thought you would be. Based on this data, we know we can help support you, and we'll, you know, take action on that data. And so I think that's really, I think the main message is this data is powerful. It provides a very important signal to help students be successful. And that's what really we want at the end of the day, for students to be successful.
You know, you stole my next question, and I'm so glad you did. All right. You did, because I was going to ask, you know, we look at it, we look at the ACT in terms of the student, okay? But the ACT data is really, really important to me. It's almost like consumer research, okay, to the colleges or any higher ed institution, all right? It gives you a picture of who's coming down the line, who your next group of customers are, if I may say it that way, and how to make them have a happy and successful experience. And if the colleges don't really look at this data, I'll keep saying colleges, bear with me, everybody. I mean all the higher ed places, et cetera. If they don't look at it and use this data, they're going to have a lot of kids that fail because they're not changing to the needs of the consumer, if I may. Okay? Do you agree with me, Krista, on that? I mean, this is really important.
I think that's absolutely right. I think our data shows that ACT scores are related to how they perform in their college courses, the grades they earn, whether or not they're going to return, whether or not they're going to graduate. And we saw with the test optional movement, which was necessary given the pandemic, given the kids couldn't test, higher ed, their hands were really tied. They had to make decisions without this information. And I think there is concern that retention rates are going to be going down, that student success isn't going to look as good. So it's a concern.
Did you know you were doing consumer research? Did you ever think of it like that? That's really what it is.
Actually, I loved how you phrased that, because we are developing products to help support our users, our consumers, and we make claims. So I love what you did there, Larry. Yes, that's good.
Thank you. It is good. And I'll tell you, you know, people are paying $200,000 to go to, that's a big expense to go to higher ed.
Yeah.
And higher ed has to, They have, it's incumbent upon them to understand who these customers are and what they want. If you pay $400,000 for a house, it better be a damn good house, okay? And the builder needs to know, but it's the same exact thing. I love what you guys are doing. I love the way we can talk about this, okay? There had to be, okay, and I'll go back to Rose. Rose, do you agree with me on the consumer research idea? Do you like that, by the way? What do you think? Right.
Actually, Larry, I come from a higher ed background. I used to work in admissions and recruited students from all around the country. And
cool.
It was this really interesting mix of, you know, making that connection between the best fit for students, the best fit for the university. Yeah, absolutely. It's really
yeah.
interesting stuff.
Where what college did you work at, or maybe more than one?
Actually, at Ohio State. I live in Columbus, Ohio. So
well, I never heard of that. I never heard of that. Do they have a football team?
You know, a lot of people would ask that of me at college
yeah.
fairs.
I don't
know. It's a popular question to ask on a Sunday morning.
Rose, I made one of my great mistakes. The first time I visited Columbus, Ohio, was the week after Coach Woody Hayes punched that kid. Remember that?
Oh, dear. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And me being the jokester with a bar, I'm sitting there, and I said, what kind of drink do you want? The guy said, I said, I'll have a Woody Hayes punch. For some reason, the joke did not go over that well that week in Columbus, Ohio. Okay.
Probably
and I didn't use
yeah.
it again. That's my Columbus, Ohio story. I'll have a Woody Hayes punch. Okay. So to everybody younger than 107, as I am, okay, Woody Hayes used to be the coach at Ohio State. Okay, we'll just move on from there. And you guys beat Penn State by one of my alma maters, okay, last week. I forgive you, Rose. Okay, I forgive you
Sorry
for that.
About
but it's just really interesting, okay, this whole thing. And, Rose, what are the bright spots? What can states and schools learn from the bright spots in all the data that you guys have done?
I think first and foremost, again, back to this equity piece, you know, for the states who were able to test all or almost all of their students, it really was saying to kids and to students who went through this really, really difficult year, here's one sort of opportunity for normalcy. You know, here's an opportunity to have that college reportable score. Here's that opportunity to figure out the next steps of your process, and I think I, again, give major, major kudos to our states because, you know, they didn't have a contingency plan set up for anything
no.
like this. We certainly didn't, and oh my gosh, the amount of on-the-spot thinking when you're talking about states with, you know, hundreds and thousands of schools, just really, really tremendous partnership, I think, that went on.
No, you go.
No, I was going to say in terms of the other bright spots, and this kind of gets back to what we were talking about in terms of consumer research, really kind of connecting the dots. This opportunity and this research report that we put out every year, such a good opportunity for states and local communities to really look at this data and use some of the both academic and non-academic data to connect the dots between K-12, higher ed, and workforce. It's this, you know, really gives us this look, this snapshot at the students who are telling us, you know, I'm graduating from high school, and I think I'm
yeah.
planning to study business, health sciences and technologies was one of the top majors nationally and in pretty much every state this year. So many students are interested in health sciences and technologies. But I think that opens the door to conversation to say, okay, are all of our higher ed institutions, 2-year and 4-year, ready to support and equip these students
right.
Coming in with really different levels of academic preparation? And then the next level, are all of our workforce folks aware that so many students have this interest? You know, are we talking all down the line about apprenticeships and internships and ways for students who are in high school and in post-secondary to really get some hands-on experience in a health field or in whatever career field
yeah.
they're interested in? I just think it opens the door for all of these great, great conversations to say, what does this data mean to us long-term, you know, as a community and as a state when we talk about careers and workforce?
Yeah, the data is key. That's all. I'm going to say that hands down. The data is key. And I want to ask you this. As you guys go through this, we've been talking, bouncing the word equity, and I know ACT's center on equity. Richer districts where they could give every kid, you know, like where I used to live in Philadelphia, Lower Merion, okay, every kid has a laptop, there's broadband everywhere, et cetera. Then you go into a huge urban situation in the Bronx, New York. They didn't have that opportunity. Maybe in rural America down in Arkansas, you couldn't get it through to kids. How does the test, if it's possible, measure the difference, okay, in I'll call it socioeconomic class in high school? And that's a very difficult thing to do. I don't even know if that's possible. Krista, is there a way to determine through the data or create a test that measures that kind of a thing? I don't have – you know what I'm saying. You're the expert. Krista.
No, that's a great question. So we do look at factors related to how students perform on the ACT. So we collect additional information from students to understand not just how they're scoring, but what's related to what works in student learning. And so we know which high school they attended. We ask them about the courses they take and whether or not they mastered the content, so what grades they earned. We have SEL measures, so we can look at their SEL skills. And
We do see large differences.
Not for all our ACT tested students. We have different assessments, but we have done a lot of research using SEL factors to understand college and career risk. And it's important. And so to your point, if you just descriptively look at our data, we do see large group differences by socioeconomic status. But once you start controlling for their educational experiences, the type of K-12 schools they attended, the courses they took, the grades they earned, we actually are able to explain almost all the difference in scores. And so it just, our data really shines a light on the inequities in the K-12. And that's, I think, one of the biggest values ACT does, is to shine that light to say, hey, there's a problem. How can we help fix this? We do see systemic inequities, and our data shines that light. So what do we do to remedy that? So I think it's a great question.
And that's a great question right there. What do we do to remedy that? Okay, that's another great question. And we've been fighting that battle for so many years. And again, the data is so important. We don't have to fly around in the dark. All right? We have the information, and we can change it. All right? As an example, I just have to get this one off my chest. They tried to eliminate the gifted program in New York City. Okay, the entire program, because there was, because 75% of the kids in the New York schools are of color, and like 15% in the gifted program were, but they do that. They try to, but people say, wait, why don't you just make the program better? Don't eliminate the whole program. Make it better and take all this into consideration. And that's exactly, if you have the data, you can move forward and make major changes. Okay, and that's what I love about what you guys do, which is so, I hope that was a good analogy, but it just came to mind as I was talking about this. It's incredible, and I'm so glad that the states and districts are using the data, okay, that's coming out. And you said, one of you said everybody could go get this. Is it at actact.org? Where is it the best place to go? Does anybody know? Krista? Rose?
Yes, best. So, go ahead, Krista.
Oh, go ahead, Rose.
Either one of
best them. Link. Best link is act.org/grad-class-2021. And since we're talking about the website, I will make a plug too. We have a Tableau dashboard on the website, in addition to kind of an overview of the graduating class data, that really allows folks to take a look at the data at the national and state levels. And I think that's been a really helpful tool, and again, has been a big part of our conversations with states and schools and districts in terms of saying, we want this data to be useful and actionable to everyone who's using it, so that everyone can make the right decision for their students.
It's really just excellent. Am I, Mike, on mute for a second? Okay, so it's act.org/grad-class-2021, right? And that'll give you
that's
a little, that's a good place to go. This is really, really important stuff. You guys do such good work. I want to thank you both. Okay, thank you.
Thanks,
Rose and Krista. That was great.
Thanks.
Okay, and Rose will be buying this. Rose will be buying the soundtrack of The Music Man very soon. Am I correct, Rose?
Absolutely, Larry. Let
you're me
know. To,
are you going to New York?
Are you
going to New York to see it? Are you going to New York to see it?
I hope so.
I hope so too. Okay, I really do. And Krista, thank you so much for being here today, Dr. Mattern. I appreciate it. Okay. Are you? What
Thank
is your doctorate
you so
in, by the way? That's a good question. What's your doctorate in?
It's industrial organizational psychology, but I've always worked in educational research. It's very similar lines of work. Instead of working focusing on workers, I focus on students, but similar issues.
And I'm going to say to you, I think that's great, okay, because you're trained in one thing and you bring those eyes okay, to education, and so I think that's incredibly important. I'm just going to say that right off the bat, okay?
I appreciate that. I mean it.
Everybody's got the degree in education. You need other degrees in there, okay, to apply other things to it. I think that's very important. Thank you, Krista. Okay, that's really, really cool. And Rose, thank you. All right?
Thank you. I just want you to know there were...
There were bells on the hill, but I never heard them ringing till there was you. That's all there is. Okay. Right. Thank you both. You're great. Appreciate
thank
it.
Thank
Take
you.
Care, Rose. Take care, Krista. Thank you. Bye bye.
Thanks.
Bye. Okay, everybody. ACT.org/grad class 2021. All right, we'll put that up on site so you can see it. All right, we'll archive over at ace-ed.org, which can link you to SEL Today, Social Emotional Learning, seltoday.org. I'm Larry Jacobs. Thank you, ACT. Thank you, ladies. Thank you all for listening, and have a great day. Oh, and go vote. It's election day. I forgot about that. Go vote.